Galatians chapter number 1. Let's look at the Bible. And we started last Wednesday night the book of Galatians, and we got, I don't know how far we got, I think I do. We started here talking about the Apostle Paul. And let's read down to at least where we got to and maybe go over just a few things that maybe we need to refresh, and then we'll pick up and try to finish chapter 1 tonight. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. The Apostle Paul is the writer. He tells us that. He gives us that information. Verse number 2, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's sort of a signature of the Apostle Paul. You'll see in a lot of letters he'll say, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that in many of the epistles that he wrote. I believe he wrote 13 of the epistles in the Bible. And so that's what I believe. In verse number 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That's coming one day. We'll be delivered according to the will of God and our Father. You know it's the will of God to deliver us? It's the will of God to deliver us from this evil world. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through, but I'm going through all this. Well, just hang on. Just a little while. Just a little while with a labor. Just a little while. Just a few more troubles. Just a few more trials. I'm trying to motivate you here tonight. But hey, it's about over. You know, we're gonna get out of here one of these days. It's the will of God for Him to come get us. It's the will of God. He just said, it's the will of God for me to deliver you from this present evil world. To whom, verse 5, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, verse number 6, he goes in a little different direction and he starts. That's sort of the introduction. Verse number 1 through 5 is an introduction. He's just like he was writing a letter. You'd have introductory remarks, thanking folks, tell so-and-so hello, whatever. And then verse 6, he gets down to the meat of the problem where he's going to address a problem that's being preached and being taught in the church at Galatia, the church that he established, the church that he set up, and now he's writing back to them and saying, hey, you need to fix some of this stuff. I've been hearing some of this stuff y'all been telling and preaching, and it ain't right. It ain't what we established. It's not the gospel that we have today, and so y'all need to straighten this out. So this is what he says in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There were those sneaking in the church. Maybe, I don't know if they were going around house to house. I don't know if they were getting behind the podium. I don't know what they were doing, but they were perverting what the Apostle Paul had already established. He established the grace of God. Hey, you're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's all by grace. Grace is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. No works involved whatsoever. And so there were people slipping in going, hey, you need to be baptized to be saved. Hey, you need to take the sacraments to be saved. Hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to turn over a new leaf, you need to do this and that. And Paul heard through the grapevine about what was going on here at the church of Galatia, and he says, hey, we need to straighten this out. We need to straighten this out. This ain't right. He said, I marvel. I'm just amazed that you are so soon removed from the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, that's what saved you, and now y'all preaching and teaching something else. He said, it just marvel. It just blows my mind that y'all are doing this. Verse number 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Well, that's some strong language, you know what? And verse number 9, as we said before, so say I now again, he repeats himself, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have received, let him be accursed. Now, I think this is where we got to. Last Wednesday night, we dealt with legalism. We dealt with legalism. Saved by works. Legalism. Legal. It's, you're saved by works. That's putting somebody under bondage. You put them under, and there are people that still do that today, under bondage. Legalism. Put them under bondage. That was what was going on in the church of Galatia. Also, number 2, antinomianism, which is no law. Nomos, no law whatsoever at all. Live any way you want to. I'm eternally secure. I can live any way I want to. I'm saved, and I can do whatever I want to. That was going on in the church of Galatia. It was one extreme to the other. And they were saying, hey, some of them say, but law, you got to work, you got to get baptized, you got to do this, you got to do the sacraments, you got to do this and this and this. And over here on the other extreme, you ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is get saved by grace and you go out and live like you want to. Do what you want through Monday through Saturday, come on into church, you know, hallelujah, praise the Lord, come down the altar, get right. Well, that ain't right either, you see. That's antinomianism, legalism. And then the third one was Galatianism. Saved by grace, but then you're kept by law. That's what they were teaching there again. There was three different kinds of doctrine going on. Paul's trying to straighten them out. Galatianism. Saved by grace. Yes, you're saved by grace, but if you sin after you get saved, you lost your salvation, you've got to do it all over again. Now, that's still going on today. That's what we call Galatianism. And it's not right. The Bible still says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy saved us. For by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what that means? That means if we could get to heaven on our works, then we would. When we get to heaven, God says, what right do you have to be here? We could say, well, I've done this, I was there, I got my little Sunday school pen right here, I never missed 52 Sundays out of the year, I did this and this and this, and boy, we could really boast and say, hey, look at me, what I've done. Now, Ephesians 2:8-9 says, no man can boast. Not by works. I mean, both. You know how it is? We get to heaven. This is the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. We get to heaven. God says, hey, what says you can get into heaven? Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Nothing in my hands. I have no right to be here. I have no right to be here. The only right that I have to be here is because I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ one day, and He saved me, and He said I could be here. Amen. Verse number 10. Now we're going into a different section. For do I now persuade men or God? Notice. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know what he said? Now, you know what that means in plain, just Tennessee language? That means Paul wasn't a politician. That means Paul wasn't a politician. He didn't gear his messages according to who was there. He didn't preach and not preach on certain different things because so-and-so gives a whole lot of money and he's afraid to offend them because they might quit giving. That goes on today. You know, preachers won't preach what it signals. It may offend so-and-so, and they're big givers. They got a good job, and if we lose that family, man, we're in trouble. You know, and that's what they're thinking. And so they don't preach on that stuff. But Paul, he wasn't a politician. He said, hey, am I pleaser of man, pleaser of God. So here's my philosophy. I'll be honest. I've always been honest. I mean, I'll be honest with you again. I say stuff I shouldn't say from behind the pulpit. I mean, you know, sometimes it just comes out and I'm like, whoop, and I'm trying to catch it, put it back in it, it's gone. You understand? But there comes a time where you just right back and tell the truth. So when you get behind the platform, when you get behind the podium and you open the Bible, you have no friends but God. And as long as you can keep that straight in your mind. Now watch, this is my philosophy. When we get behind the pulpit, I have no friends but God. Amen. No friends out in the audience. It's just me and God. I'm trying to do what He's telling me to do. Amen. And then when we get off and we can go to McDonald's and sit down and split a cheeseburger. But behind the pulpit with the Bible open, we ain't got no friends. Paul didn't have no friends when he opened the Bible. He didn't have no friends. I mean, he didn't have no friends at all. He wasn't a good politician. He said, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can't be the servant of Christ and trying to please man. Amen. So verse number 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel, now I want you to notice this, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, you know the gospel that Paul preached. It was 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. He said, I deliver moreover, brethren, I deliver unto you the gospel which I've preached, and it's death, the burial, and the resurrection. According to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. He said, that's the gospel I've been given to you. Verse number 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now notice, here's a few things I want you to notice. Number one, I want you to notice this. The gospel that the Apostle Paul preached wasn't given to him by Peter, James, and John. It wasn't given to him by John the Baptist. It wasn't, what this gospel that Paul is giving us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, he did not just get that from, and number, Peter just didn't knock on Paul's door the day after he got saved in, what, Acts 15, I think it's when they met each other. He didn't say, hey, Paul, let me sit down and share something with you. He didn't sit down with Paul and say, hey, you know Jesus Christ died for your sins? He was buried, rose again the third day according to Scripture. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, all that stuff. He didn't sit down and tell Paul that. Paul got this not after man. He got it by revelation of Jesus Christ. The information that the Apostle Paul got, he got from the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. That's where he got it from. Revelation. Inspiration is writing that down. Revelation is something being revealed to you that you didn't know about. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of times we give this example, a lot of things. Maybe you get some information. You're at home. Your wife or husband is at work. You get some information. It has been revealed to you. It hasn't been revealed to anybody else. It's been revealed to you. So when they get home, you tell them, say, hey, I got some stuff I want to tell you. It's just been told to me this morning. I want to tell you. Apostle Paul gets it from the Lord, and he's spreading it out to the church at Rome, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Galatia, to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Thessalonica, and so forth, and Colossae, and Philippi, and on we go. He's spreading that revelation out to these particular churches. Now, I want you to notice, look at Luke chapter number 18. Look at Luke 18. I want to show you something. Luke 18. Now, this is very important, because this has not been taught in a lot of churches. Luke chapter number 18. Look at here. It's right there in front of your face right there. And let's look at it. Let's just read the Bible. Verse 31. Ready? Luke 18, 31. You got to see this. Then he took unto him the 12. Jesus took unto him the 12. The 12 who? The 12 Jewish, pork-abstaining, robe-wearing disciples. And said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Hey, you know what he said? He said disciples. I mean, the prophets, Isaiah wrote about it in Isaiah 53. The lamb's going to be led to the slaughter, dumb before his shears. He opens not his mouth. Bruised for his, He was bruised for our iniquities, and and by his stripes we are healed. He's telling them that. Isaiah foretold about this. Now watch. Verse number 32. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. Jesus Christ is fixing to be delivered unto the Gentiles, the Romans. And shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, and spitted on. Man, he's giving them inside information. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Do you know what Jesus just gave the disciples? He gave them what? The gospel of the death, burial, and the resurrection. You know that? Watch verse 34. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was, what? What's that saying in your Bible? These sayings was what? Hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. They sitting there scratching their head. Man, we don't know what you're talking about. Sounds good. Keep on preaching. We liking it, but we don't know what you're talking about. What he's telling them is, hey, I'm that man of Isaiah 53. I'm the lamb that's fixing to go shed the blood. They're going to be beating me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to pluck my beard out. They're going to beat me. They're going to put me on the cross. I'm going to die. They're going to bury me. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And they're going. Like some of y'all doing tonight, you know. They understood. So what? You say, preacher, why'd you tell me that? Because why? Now we know the Apostle Paul didn't get that information from these fellows because they didn't know it. Now let me show you. Now y'all thought we was having a contemporary service tonight because we had the screen down. But that's not the case. Not yet anyway. crowds get starting to get low, we'll do that. Come on now. That was a joke. Come on now. Good night. In Luke 18, we're right over here before the cross. Everybody got that? Luke 18 before the cross. Everybody with me? Right there before the cross, Luke 18. He's supposed to go to the cross. He's telling him he's supposed to go to the cross. They're scratching their head. I don't know nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. And this, that, and the other. Now watch. Look, turn your Bible to John 20. John 20. Look at John 20. John 20 and verse number, let's see. John 20. Well, let's read the first verse. John 20, is everybody there? John 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. That's why we go to church on Sundays, because the first day of the week, that's when Jesus arose from the dead. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now let me ask you a question. Well, let's keep reading. Verse number 3. Peter, therefore, went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And I don't know why they put that in there. They just wanted us to know that John was a faster runner than Peter. Verse number 5. And he stooped down and looked in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in the place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's, now, you know, there's a lot of, look, I don't know how far you want to go with this, but I know folks said, well, I mean, them disciples, man, they were, they knew everything that Paul knew. They knew all this kind of stuff. They knew about the death, burial, and the resurrection. No, they didn't. They didn't know. If they would have known, when Mary Magdalene come and told them, said, hey, somebody's taking away the body of the Lord, they would have started shouting, going, hallelujah! They wasn't going to run down there and look. Why run down there and look? I already believe it. I already know. I knew it was the gospel. No, they run down there and look. Why? They didn't understand that stuff. They didn't understand that stuff. So that's why. Now, John 20. The reason I told you that, I forgot what I told you before. John 20 is on this side. Right after the cross, resurrection. Right there, John 20. They still scratching their head. I hadn't got a clue. Man, they ain't got a clue. Apostle Paul gets saved, what? Some of y'all in Bible Institute, this will look familiar to you from last night. Acts chapter number 9, Apostle Paul gets saved. Right? Apostle Paul gets saved in Acts chapter number 9. And then, let's look here in Galatians 1. Let's go back to Galatians 1. We'll try to finish this up, this chapter. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number, let's read 11 again. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation. The conversation, that's your lifestyle. Your lifestyle, your conversation, your lifestyle in times past in the Jews' religion. Hey, y'all know my past, y'all know my lifestyle, how I was in the Jews' religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the Church of God. Now that's not the denomination Church of God. That is the body of Christ, the Church of God, where he says, I persecuted the Church of God and wasted it. Well, that gives you some inside information. That tells you that Church of God, or the body of Christ, let me get this red one, this body of Christ was already, if Paul persecuted it, then it must have been in existence before Paul, if he persecuted it, it was in existence when he was lost. Which means it was in existence before Acts 9. It was there. Now look, you say, preacher, high in the world, all these Bereans, man, high in the world, that can't be in existence. Look, how many of y'all know how much money I got in my pocket? Not a soul. Why? You would know if I revealed it to you. That don't mean it ain't there. That just means you don't know about it. Everybody with me? So don't let these people say, well, it couldn't be in existence till after it was revealed to Paul. Yeah, I mean, the money was in the bank. Paul just didn't know about it yet. It hadn't been told to him yet how much was in there. I mean, God had the body of Christ in His pocket. It was already there at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ formed the body of Christ, but didn't tell nobody about it. It was a mystery. Nobody knew about it. It was a mystery. Now, some of y'all are looking at me like, watch. Let me explain it this way. Watch. Right over here, before the cross. Let me explain it this way. Before the cross. You know what these Jews were doing? They were going to church on Saturday. Right? They were pork abstaining. Right? I mean, they were, you know, all this Jews religion. That's what they were doing before the cross. Is everybody with me? Guess what? Jesus dies on the cross, buried, rose again the third day. You know what they did the next Saturday after the resurrection? They went to church on Saturday. They still pork abstaining. Did they have to? No, they didn't have to because the grace of God has done been brought in. But what? Nobody's told them any different. So they were doing what they knew to do until somebody told them different to do. You understand? We explain it this way. Sometime new presidents come in. We're hoping for that this time. And see, that's one of them things that come out. Man, I tried to get it back and I couldn't. But watch. When they have what they call a transition. Ready? When the old president, hey, the first day the new president takes office, did you know there are some people still doing things, still filling paperwork out, still doing things that the old president used to do? They do until they know to do better. And then all of a sudden the new president goes, hey, we don't do that no more. We're gonna do away with them tax cuts and we're gonna raise them, you know. That's just hypothetical. It was hypothetical. But you know, we're gonna do it different now. Whatever you've been doing, we're gonna do it different now. But there's a transition to where you get used to your new boss. The way he wants stuff done. Ready? So after the cross, there's a new program in town, but nobody knows about it. They just keep on doing what they used to do until they knew to do better. And who did God tell to be the messenger to them to tell them how to do better? The Apostle Paul. He said, I didn't get this from nobody. I got this from the Lord. And I'm just here to tell y'all there's a new program in town. It started at the cross. Nobody knew about it until God told it to me. He said, watch. Watch this. Oh, let's see, verse 14, ready? Paul's still talking. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. You know what that means? That means if it was in the Jews' religion, Paul done it. If the Jews' religion said it, Paul did it. I mean, he done it. He done this. He wore his hair a certain way. He pogre thing. He did everything that he was supposed to do as a Jew. He was zealous in the traditions of my fathers. Verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Now, don't let the Calvinists take that verse and just turn you in a tailspin. Look, you can't get elected until you throw your hat in the ring. I mean, there are people running for stuff now, and you got to throw your hat in the ring. If you want to be elected, you got to throw your hat in the ring. So you know, one day when I was a 10-year-old boy, I threw my hat in the ring. God says, I'll elect you. Hey, God votes for you. The devil votes against you. That ties the election. Now how are you going to vote? That's election. Write that down, remember it, and tell all the Calvinists to go jump in the river. Verse 16, to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. The heathen, that's the Gentiles. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Hey, flesh and blood didn't tell me that. Do you know who did tell Him that? Flesh and bone. You remember Matthew 16 over there? Jesus talking to Peter. Peter, and Peter says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, hey, you just didn't get that information from just anybody. The Lord revealed that to you. And the same thing the Apostle Paul, he said, I didn't get this from flesh and blood, but I did get it from flesh and bone, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave it to me. Verse 17. Now, verse 17, yeah. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So after he gets saved in Acts 9, he goes into Arabia. All right? He goes up there, just like Moses did. That's where Moses got the Ten Commandments. That's where Elijah went, over there in Arabia. That's where Jesus went in the wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights. That's where Paul goes to get some inside information. He goes there. In Arabia, returned again to Damascus. Verse 18, I'm trying to finish this chapter before we quit. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Man, that's a long time to be in Arabia. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Hey, wonder why he went abode with Peter 15 days. You know what? Watch. Paul gets saved, Acts 9. He goes to Arabia. He stays 3 years. He gets some inside information. The revelation of the body of Christ. The revelation of the Jew-Gentile in one body. He gets the revelation of the mystery of the rapture. Hey, in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Nobody knew that until Paul. That's why Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians. Behold, I show you a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Nobody knew it before I got the information in Arabia for 3 years. Then he came back and he says, hey, Paul, I need to stay at your house about 15 days. I wonder what he wanted with Peter. Excuse me, Peter. He said, Peter, I want to stay at your house 15 days. I wonder what he wanted with Peter. Because there was some stuff that Paul didn't know about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And watch. He said, hey, Peter, tell me how he turned the water into wine. Tell me that story. Tell me that story how he healed blind Bartimaeus. 15 days, no telling what he asked Peter about the life of Christ. He wanted to know. He wanted to know him and the power of his resurrection. He wanted to know everything he possibly could about the Lord. He abode with him 15 days, and probably that 15 days, he probably straightened him out on a few things too. Now look, verse 19. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, write this down, because I don't have time to turn to it. But Mark, chapter 6 and verse number 3 will tell you that Mary and Joseph had other children after the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was virgin born. Ready? Now, the Roman Catholic Church says he didn't have any brothers and sisters. But the Bible says that he does. So what do? We've got somebody telling us they don't, and we got the Bible that says he does. So what do? Well, we throw the Catholics out the window, and we take the Bible, and we believe the Bible. James, the Lord's brother, we believe the Bible. We love them. Hey, we love them. Don't we? I mean, we love them. We want to see people saved. We love them. But hey, when it contradicts the Bible, we don't worry about it. We take two baby aspirins, go to bed, and Jesus has other brother, half-brothers and sisters. That went over real good. Mark 6:3, read it when you get home. Now, verse 20. Now, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. You know what? You know why he's telling the church of Galatia this? It's because for a Jew to raise his hand and say, I'm telling you the truth. If a Jew done that, he took it very seriously. And if he done it, he's telling the truth. Paul says, under God, I lie not. I'm telling you the truth. This is what happened to me. I mean, you think about Paul coming down from Arabia. He's been up for 3 years. He probably looked rough as a cob anyway. And he's coming down and saying, hey, I want to tell y'all something. And they're going, who is this guy? You know? What are you going to tell us? Paul said, look, I'm telling you the truth. I lie not. I'm telling you the truth. And this is what he said. Verse 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judah, which were in Christ. But they had heard only, this is what they heard, the churches of Judea, this is what they heard, that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which was once destroyed, once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Can you imagine this? I mean, you know how rumors get started. I mean, there's rumors going on. Hey, y'all don't believe this. Y'all remember that fellow that beat us, threw rocks at us when we stoned Stephen? You remember all that? You remember that? You remember that guy? You remember that guy that had Stephen beat and stoned and killed? You remember that guy? Paul sitting over there holding his coat while they beating the tar out of him. You remember that guy? You remember that guy that, I mean, persecuted, had warrants in Damascus for every Christian that, that proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ? You remember that guy? Everybody's like, yeah, where'd he ever get off to? Well, now he's a preaching. They're going, what? He's a doing what? I mean, how many of y'all, look, how many has ever have come up to, if that's happened once, it's happened 1,000 times. They come and say, oh, we never thought you'd be a preacher. Miss Judy will tell you that, man. She said, man, I never thought he'd be. I mean, in Sunday school, man, it's like, no way. No, it's like, you know, it's a whole lot worse than the Apostle Paul, man. All he done, he killed people, he did all of this. He did more than stand on the Sunday school table and dance around and cause havoc in the Sunday school room. I mean, he killed people for claiming to be Christians. And they're like, he's doing what? This is what he said. He said the churches had heard that he who used to persecute us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. They said, well, that's true. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, God can save him. He can save just about anybody. Amen. If Paul can get saved, everybody in here can get saved. Amen. Say, preacher, what was all that about? Well, I'm telling you, there's some stuff that Paul got that was only revealed to him. And now we find that in the book of Romans through Philemon. And he gives us that information. Where do we find... well, anyway, we ain't got time to go. Look, how do we lead somebody to the Lord? We take them to the what? Romans what? Romans wrote. Who wrote the book of Romans? You understand? I mean, Paul got some information that we are utilizing today that are leading people to Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's it. Any questions, comments, anything? Special revelation. There's a mystery there that only revealed to Paul. Now, we got it. It's all written down for us. There are no more revelations. No more revelations. Look, when he finished and gave John on the Isle of Patmos, Revelation 22, God put his pen down. I'm through revealing. It's all in one book. Don't let nobody say, well, you ain't going to believe what the Lord, I mean, you know, what the Lord, he come down to me last night. Man, I ate too much pepperoni pizza before I went to bed. And, man, that turkey come down, I'm sitting on my bedpost. And, man, he told me, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, that fella has lost his mind. Tell him to take two tums, you know. Man, you know, if that's the case and he needs to start back here in Genesis 22, or excuse me, Revelation 22, start Revelation 23, and start writing. If God is still revealing stuff. God said all he wanted to say right there, and if you want to know what God said, you have to read it. Hey, Benny Hinn cannot give you any more revelation than what's in here. Whoever else, Paul and Jan, TBN, they can't give you no more information. It's all written right here. You ever seen them on there? I know I'm rambling right now, but I got... It's still 5 to 8. I mean, y'all right. And you ever seen them? I got a word of knowledge. I'm going to give you something nobody's ever heard before.